Well, grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How does one talk about the challenge of giving? It's one of those topics that can, as a pastor, I can tell you, it makes you feel a little awkward. You almost don't want to talk about it, but yet, at the same time, it is one of the most discussed things in Holy Scripture. Jesus talks about it. The amount of time that Jesus talks about money and giving is second and only by the kingdom of God. So it's obviously something that's fairly important. But every year we have a stewardship discussion. We talk about stewardship and we talk about giving. And so I thought to myself, how exactly can we bring out the idea of giving? And then I had an epiphany. You know, there's a lot of things that I hear. And as I go about hearing these things, sometimes I realize that they're not necessarily wrong things, but sometimes they're just, well, they're misconceptions. They're misthoughts, if you will. I like to say it like this. It's kind of like a riddle. I love riddles. And realize, I always say things like this. I love bowling. I'm terrible at bowling. I love riddles. I'm not good at them. I still love them, though. My favorite one, and I've actually said this one here, it's forward I'm heavy and backward I'm not. What am I? Does anybody know? Forward I'm heavy, backward I'm not. What am I? Ton! It spells the word not if you read it backwards. You know, it's just a slight twist of your perception and all of a sudden everything changes. And I went throughout that and I was like, man, what are some of the things that I've heard over the years that are these misconceptions, these misthoughts, or maybe just wrong? And so I came up with the top five things, misconceptions that I hear. And so here we go. I hope you guys are all ready for this. Giving is paying our dues. Now I know some of you guys are probably thinking, Pastor, when did you ever hear that? And let me tell you, my very first week of ministry ever as an ordained pastor, I heard this. Basically, we as the part of the elders, they would go and do cold calls back in the day for those people that hadn't attended church in about 5 years. I went on one of these cold calls, and the gal opened the door, and she said, honey, the church is here. We need to pay our dues. And I never forgot that. And I've heard some variation of that more than once. So let's be clear here. Giving is not paying your dues. Your stewardship to the church, your giving to the church is not somehow your dues. Nobody is going to get kicked out of the church if they decide not to give. Nobody. In terms of priorities and importance, it's much more important that you are sitting here hearing God's word than it is that you have a certain amount that you give. So the idea that you're just paying your dues is quite the misconception. It's simply incorrect. Giving is just a means for the church to take our money. I've actually heard this one more times than you can. And it's always some variation of it. It's some variation of it. And the idea behind it is actually the misconception. The idea behind it is what is so backwards. Everybody just presumes that giving is something that the church does to them. And in fact, it's actually the complete opposite. A lot of studies, a lot of time, a lot of energy has been done, and basically one thing is very, very clear. Giving is actually tied very much with ourselves and our own spiritual growth. Again, no one's going to kick you out of church if you don't give anything. But quite frankly, if you want to grow spiritually, you will give to your church. You will. It's actually, they've been studied. It almost always ranks in the top five of most influential things that helped a person feel and experience spiritual growth? Almost always. And so the complete idea of this is actually completely backwards. And again, I know that's really easy for the pastor to stand up and say, but every study they've ever done, and you can look them up. I don't know where you're going to look them up. I have a book, but I read books. That's what I do. All right, moving on to the next one. The tithe is only in the Old Testament, so I don't have to do it. For those of you that know me, and know me well, you know that I don't necessarily love the word tithe. I just don't. I don't love it for a number of reasons. However, there's some important things to think about. In the Old Testament, the tithe had three main purposes. For one, it was to help the Levites. Right? So the Levites did not have land. And if you didn't have land, you couldn't farm. And if you couldn't farm, you couldn't produce anything. And if you can't produce anything, you have absolutely no way in the ancient world to make income. So people gave 10% to basically have the Levites have a wage. So if everybody gave 10%, you'd have 100. Actually, you'd have 120%, which brings me to point two. The second reason for a tithe was for the sake so that the Levitical priest had something to pass on to their children. Again, if you have land that you can pass on to your children, that is fantastic. But the Levites had no land. They took care of the temple. And so in order to give them something to pass on to their children, instead of getting 100%, there were 12 tribes, each giving 10%, they received 120%. So as you can't notice, those first two reasons, well, they don't really apply to us. They don't apply to our world today. But the third one does. The tithe was the consistent means of giving for the Israelites in the ancient world. And at least part of it was to show that money was not their God. 10% is enough to where you will notice it, but not enough to where it would completely break you. It was just enough so that the people there would recognize that their produce and what they made and what they gained was not their God, but their Heavenly Father was God. One of the reasons I don't like using the word tithe is because a lot of times it becomes very, very legalistic language. You better do this. You better do this. But at the very least, using a tithe as a principle to understand that money and things that we have and materialism is not our God is actually a pretty important point. And it goes right back to the Timothy passage that we just read. A lot of people can get caught up in this idea of money and they can make it into their God and it becomes the root of all kinds of evil. Now notice the text. It did not say it was the root of all evil. A lot of times we misquote that text and we say it's the root of all evil. It doesn't say that, but it does say it's the root of all kinds of evil. And certainly that can be true. And I think if we don't ever challenge ourselves, we can really end up there. And so this one, as well, can be a misconception. I don't like necessarily the legalistic approach to it, but at the same time, a tithe, that is 10%, is a good goal to set. My money is between me and God. Now this is one that I've heard a lot. I mean, a lot, a lot. And the problem with this one is that part of it is true, and then part of it is untrue. And the problem is you've got to kind of tease out the truth versus the non-truth. Here's what I mean by that. We're not posting publicly your giving statements. And in fact, hardly anybody in this church will ever see what you give. And that's including me. I will not see what you give. Nobody Very, very few people. Other than the few people that actually enter that information in, almost nobody else actually sees what you give. However, when we say my money is between me and God, it fails to recognize that we are part of a community. Go back and read through all kinds of the scripture that you see. From the book of Acts, where you see the very first Christian church kind of emerging, where everybody gave all that they had so that they were a part of a community. And you can go all over scripture and you see this all over the place. From the Philippians and what they gave to Paul, it's everywhere. When we come forward to take Holy Communion, realize we even have that word there, communion, together. This is a family. This is a Christian family. This is a Christian church. And as a Christian family and a Christian church, we are all part of that community. So what you give, yes, the facts, the numbers, the statements, yes, that would be between you and God. But the reality is that what you give is part of a family, a part of your family, a part of your church. And so the statement is part true, but also part incorrect. And then finally, the last one, the church is just controlled by money. And I've heard this one a lot too. And here's one of the problems with this one. You have any organization, anything that gets big enough, you'll have some bad apples. No matter what, you'll have some bad apples. So if you want to go do a Google search for news stories of churches gone awry, you'll find it. If you want to go around and find a news article about churches that have just basically ended up worshiping money, or their pastors embezzled, or whatever it happens to be, you're going to find it. They're out there. There have been churches that have gone awry. I wish I could say, but never with the LCMS, but that would be incorrect too. Even us and the good old LCMS have had some bad apples. However, we must recognize that the church is here to proclaim the gospel of the Lord, to proclaim His gifts, to proclaim His promises, and for us to be able to receive them. The gospel is proclaimed, the sacraments are given rightly, and we are able to receive such great and wonderful gifts. That is the goal of the church. That is the purpose of the church. Is money a factor? Well, of course it is. Of course it's a factor, and of course we talk about it, and of course over the next week you're going to hear about it, and you're going to think about it, and dwell on it, and be challenged with it. But the church is not controlled by money. In fact, this is one of the beauties of a lot of churches, including ours. You guys get a say. That's what our voters' meetings are all about. You can come to a voters' meeting and you can have your opinion spoken and heard and said. And so if you're not going to your voters' meetings, then, well, some degree, then that's you not allowing your opinions to be voted on, to be put forward. We're not controlled by money. We are, however, controlled by the gospel message that we are to proclaim. It's in our Constitution. Scripture first, the Bible first. Everything else is secondary. And that's important to remember. That even as we talk about this, even as we are challenged by this, and we kind of go through those challenges, remember, we started with being. We started with this point of our own spiritual disciplines, of prayer, of church, of spending time with our Lord. We moved to forgiveness, both the forgiveness we receive, but also that we give. We moved to serving. How do we serve others? How are our good works for those that are around us? And then this week, we talk about giving. By the way, next week, we talk about going. we're going to put a capstone on this by talking about something that is truly, truly, truly very important, about how we venture out to proclaim this good news outside of these doors. But I'll save that for next week. But our foundation is found in Christ and Him alone. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now stand as we confess our